On this week's episode of the podcast, I am talking to you from the mountains where I am on a ski trip together with my family and with our best friends. And we have 5 kids between us, and this might just be the most chaotic, intense, crazy, and also beautiful week of our entire lives. I talk about navigating parenting challenges as our children get older. We have some new challenges that have started coming our way as our kids grow older and older, which was kind of a surprise, to be honest. I talk about that nostalgic feeling that you often get when you look back at a challenging time, how we often end up missing the time where we were growing and learning a lot. And of course, I talk about giving ourselves grace during busy and full times of our lives. It's a good and kind of a funny episode, I think. There's a bit of storytelling in here that you're going to enjoy. Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I'm faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too-good-to-be-true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where Ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Let's jump in. All right, my loves, welcome back to the show. Welcome, welcome. How are you? Take a moment to settle in. Get comfortable, get cozy. Maybe you want to brew yourself your favorite cup of tea or grab something delicious to drink and just get comfortable as we settle in for a brand new episode of From the Heart. I am currently, well, in this exact moment, I'm snuggled up at the kitchen table of this little apartment that we're renting up in the mountains. We are here for a week on a very, let me find the right word for this, on a very full ski trip. That is me trying to use the most diplomatic and kind word for what this trip is. It is very full. It's very busy. And yeah, I did not turn the sound off my phone. That was Dennis texting me, probably telling me that there's some sort of emergency happening with one of the 8 children that we have here on this trip. But that does not relate to me in this moment, or I don't have to be bothered by that because I have a whole hour to myself to talk to you. And I just made myself a very elaborate cup of coffee. So my husband, Dennis, I mean, you all know him. He is a coffee roaster. He is actually comfortable enough now to say, if someone asks, like, what do you do? He says, oh, I'm a coffee roaster. Like, he roasts incredible coffee. And on this trip, we are about 5.5, like a 6-hour drive from home. And he has brought so many gadgets, so much equipment to make his coffee, including like a ceramic, very heavy, fragile hand grinder that you grind the beans with. We have a scale here that he brought. We have the pour over thing with a special kind of filter, and then the extra little thing you put in between. And then He brought his own, it's like a little coffee pot, you know, glass thing. He even brought his own kettle, which to me doesn't make any sense, because wherever we would end up staying, like whatever place we would rent, obviously there would be a kettle. But no, he likes this one because it maintains perfect temperature and it lets you know exactly how hot the water is. So he can make it 94 degrees Celsius, which according to him is the perfect temperature for a pour over. Well, and then bags and bags and bags of home roasted coffee beans. And then every day he makes his own little blend of his home roasted beans and he makes this elaborate pour over that takes such a long time. And no one gets to enjoy it because we have so many children here. And it is absolutely full speed chaos at all moments of every day, particularly in the morning. Like, it's just crazy. And in the midst of this morning mayhem that we have going on every day, he just like will zone in on his coffee making, which is simultaneously like very beautiful that he's in that ritual every day, no matter what, and also incredibly frustrating at the same time, especially when, yeah, we have 1,000 kids and things need to happen. But, you know, this coffee ritual takes a long time every day. And I just had my first moment of this whole trip of just making it myself. And I go through all the steps. Like, I really know how to make a perfect pour over. You have to weigh the beans and the espresso, like once you've ground it up. And then you have to always wet the filter beforehand. I don't know anyone who makes a pour over and you just chug your coffee into the filter dry. Apparently that is like a cardinal sin. Okay, that is like very terrible. You're not allowed to do that. You have to wet the filter first. And I mean, if you don't grind your own beans, I mean, Dennis would have, he would throw a fit. We should have an episode just talking about coffee because it is such an elaborate, intricate, detailed lifestyle. I mean, it's more than just a beverage that, you know, that you drink. It's a lifestyle. So anyway, I did all the things. I chose the Colombian beans today. They're very, very delicious. And then I put whole milk in it. Oh, if he only knew. If using pre-ground beans is a cardinal sin, putting milk in your meticulously, perfectly brewed pour over, he would faint. Like, he would lose it. It's like, I don't know what to, yeah, he had some way. My brother was at our house the other day. My brother always has his coffee with milk, always. And I don't drink a lot of pour over or just regular brewed, regular black coffee. I mostly drink like a cappuccino in the morning, and that's the coffee that I'll have in the day. Sometimes I throw a shot of espresso in like a functional superfoods collagen mushroom latte sometime in the afternoon if I need a little pick-me-up. But I basically only have like one cup of coffee a day, and it's my morning cappuccino that, of course, Dennis meticulously makes and will throw out if it's not perfect. Literally, if it's not perfect, it goes down the drain. It's crazy. And my brother was at our house, and then he made him this amazing pour over, and he's explaining every step, and he's explaining this blend that he made with these very special beans that he has sourced. And this one is honey washed, and then some of them are fermented, or they're washed in different ways. And it's just like very complicated how you source these beans. And apparently it's some sort of specialty, very fancy, expensive coffee that he made my brother. And then my brother gets it and he didn't even have a sip. And he's like, can I have some milk? And then it's just like, excuse me, when you cook me a steak, do I spit on it? I'm like, I don't know if that's the same. I don't know if those things are the same. He's like, okay, if you make me a steak on your very elaborate barbecue that you spend such time on and you took such care to really cook me, do I ask for it well done? And he's like, no, you don't. I'm like, okay, then you don't drink that coffee with milk. At least you have to taste it and get the experience. Like, he's so serious. And I'm sitting here with my little whole milk coffee. Some things are just routine, right? Some things are just routine. And I think for people who always have a little milk in their coffee, to go to having, to not doing that just feels really weird. And I don't know, I'm just a rebel right now. Everything is, all bets are off. You guys, this trip... Let me give you a little background. First of all, it's Dennis's birthday in 2 weeks, and all he wants to do is go snowboarding. All he talks about all winter long. He starts already like September, October, as winter starts approaching. He's like, it's almost snowboarding season. He's so excited about it. It's basically, not basically, I really truly think it is his favorite thing about living in Sweden. It's that, yeah, it's the peak for him. Having grown up and lived his whole life on a tiny Caribbean island, I think snowboarding and being in the mountains and the whole just experience of that and lifestyle of that and teaching the kids how to ski and like the whole thing. Like, he loves it so much. And it's almost to the point of it being a little bit annoying. Like, he wants to take Leia skiing every weekend because it's easy to take her. She's a great skier. They can go on the same slopes. They're just like a good unit. And to take Finn and to go with me, it's like a whole, it's like a, yeah, it becomes a project to take the baby, right? So Leia has even started to like kind of resist because he's so into it. Like, he has to tone his excitement down. He's too obsessed. It's too much. And then this whole winter, he, for a variety of reasons, including baby, including not sleeping, including starting a new business and starting a new coffee roastery and all these things just, you know, happen, including money and a lot of factors. He just wasn't able to get a proper snowboarding trip together. So all winter has passed and he's only had like a day here and there where he's gone snowboarding. So it's his birthday coming up in 2 weeks, and I planned a surprise trip for him. Not this trip that we're on. No, no. I planned a surprise trip where I asked my mom, the kid's grandmother, if she could join so that we can have some support with the kids and like an extra pair of hands. And having that means that there is a chance that we could actually go skiing up the mountain together, which we can't really do with a baby and a seven-year-old. We have a little bit. I'm going to tell you how we do it. But yeah, by having just an extra pair of hands, you know, we could even go out for like dinner and have date night, which we haven't done since I was pregnant. Like, it's been a year. We have not had a night alone. It's just what it is. And I planned this whole thing and found this amazing hotel to stay at, book everything with my mom. Everything is ready. And then announced the trip. He's so excited. And then like the next day, my dad calls and he's like, hey, we're going to go over Easter. We're going to go skiing at this other mountain, not the one where I had planned it, like one that's a little bit further south. It's really affordable. Like, there's, you know, for some reason, it's not as busy as normal. You guys should really come. And Leia has a week off. And I don't really know how it happened, but we were not planning to do this. It was just like a suggestion. And then we found this really affordable apartment. And then all of a sudden, our best friends, Patrick and Olivia, who have three kids, they were like, is there space? And then there was extra rooms. And then all of a sudden, this trip just happened. It was not planned. Very spontaneous. And I'm like, is it overkill to like squeeze in this little trip now? Which is really easy because it's a 5-hour drive and my family is already here. And for a lot of reasons, this was just kind of easy to make happen. I'm like, we have this big trip planned and it's coming up just a few weeks later. Like, it feels maybe overkill. And then it's just like, there's no such thing as overkill. I didn't ski all winter. Oh my God, no. We can have two trips almost back to back. And Leia has a week off school for Easter and all this stuff. Like, he just convinces me this is a great idea. Okay, so off we go. And let me tell you, it has not been a great idea. It has been very hard. It has been. I don't know what it is, because we have had all of these kids together at our house on the farm a million times. It is never chaotic. I mean, it's always a little bit chaos. Five kids together is what it is. But it's never been unmanageable. Yeah, sometimes they fight. Sometimes someone's unhappy, sometimes something happens, but for the majority of the time, they are all content to chill and do their thing and play and draw, and we go outside and we do our thing. And we were all expecting this thing where we're going to share a house and the kids are going to have fun and we're going to take them all out in the slopes and it's going to be great. And then we'll take turns and then two adults maybe at a time can go like actually, you know, have child-free time and go skiing and do the whole thing. Like, we just had like a very rosy-colored version of what actually transpired. Because what happened, the moment we arrived here, I don't know if it is the mountain air, if it's the cold, if it's just the mega excitement of being on a trip together, if it's the skiing, like, I don't know what it is, but these children have lost their minds. These children have taken all of their most wild qualities and like quintupled them and then combined forces together. And it's chaos. Like it is absolutely chaos at all times. Chaos starts at 4 a.m. because that's when the two babies decide to wake each other up. That's how the day starts. So Olivia and Patrick have a 1-year-old, or he's 14 months old. Finn is 9 months old. For some reason, neither kid at home wakes up at 4. Like, that would never happen. No way. Like, Finn sleeps till 7:30 usually. His best hours of sleep normally are between 4 and 7. Like, if I get any undisturbed time to sleep, it's like those final hours of the morning are usually pretty good. No, we get here 4 a.m. One of them wakes up and then they start talking to each other through the bedroom wall, which was really cute for like half a second, and now just really sucks. Like, it's not funny. And Ziggy, who's 14 months, who is the wildest 14-month-old you will ever meet in your life. Like, he is so funny, so fun. You cannot sit down for 1 second. I mean, this kid is all over the place, 100 miles per hour at all time. Finn is kind of chill for a baby. And Finn will wake up and he'll say something like, "Oh." And then on the other side of the bedroom wall, Ziggy goes, "Oh." And then you hear them, "Oh, oh." And then Ziggy goes, "La, la, la, la." And then he just starts blabbering away. And they just wake each other up. And then Olivia and I are like frantically trying to get each baby to go back to bed until 4:45 in the morning. We just like meet in the kitchen, like, "Hello, what is going on? Why is this happening? Why won't they sleep? What the fuck?" And then our day starts. And then at 6, the other children wake up, and they wake up like ready to rumble, ready to fight each other, ready to have arguments, ready to not be happy with the food that we have, ready to be annoyed at stuff. Like, they're just like, it's so intense all day. And then finally we like try to have breakfast, and in the middle of chaos, Dennis is like, "I'm gonna make my 20-minute coffee now." Then I get really annoyed with him. And then at some point there's just like tension in the morning, and just the kids are so loud. And then we just try to head out the door, and then you have to get them dressed, and they need like 17 layers of clothing, and then they don't want to wear their ski boots, and then someone's missing something, and then finally you get them dressed, and then one of them has to pee, and they have to take everything off again, and you have to start over. And then in the middle of that, it's like time for Finn to sleep, and he needs to go in the stroller, and that's like a whole separate thing, so then one of us has to break off and do that. And then the middle child, they have a 3-year-old, who is just normally so chill, and like, since she was little, she was just always listening. I mean, she's my goddaughter. She's the most amazing kid. And she just got here and she's like, "You know what? Fuck you." She has such sass. I've never seen such sass out of her, ever. She's so sassy. Like, "Hey, let's put our shoes on." "No." I'm like, "What? No, no, I'm not gonna do that." And then we're like chasing her down, trying to force her shoes on. I don't know what is happening. And then finally we get everybody out the door. And then it's like, we can't all be in the same slope together because the 3-year-old can't ski with the 7-year-olds. And the 7-year-olds are also not at the same level. So they're not really, at least for the first days, they were not okay to like be next to each other on the slopes because one wanted to do one thing and the other one wanted to do something else. And then it's just, it really feels like we wake up in the morning, like at 4, and then we run. And it's just, it's not, it's a sprint, but it's also a marathon. And it's just like chaos until we go to bed. And it's not like we put all the kids to bed and then you get 2 hours to like chill and talk through the day and have a moment. No, because there's babies waking up every 30 minutes until all of us adults just pass out from sheer exhaustion. Let me start over the next day. I mean, maybe it sounds like I'm exaggerating. I am not exaggerating. Okay. Not every single day has been like this. Like yesterday magically became totally different for some reason. But yesterday was day 6. Like we leave tomorrow. So the first 5 days full on were like this. Like it was just chaos, chaos, chaos all day. And then at some point every day we have like beautiful moments and we are all in the slopes together and the sun is out and then everybody's happy. Like we have, it's not like a terrible trip. It's not like that. It's just really, really, really full and really busy and really exhausting and really like it's just so much of everything. No break, no space. I've just never parented this hard in my entire life. And then still, like at some point every day, everything just magically aligns and we're having a great time. And we get to suddenly like, you know, yeah, like 2 days ago, the babies just fell asleep at the same time. And we like get to have a coffee and a cinnamon bun and sit in the sun and like, oh my God. Olivia and I had like a 2-hour stretch where we actually got to be alone in the slopes and we just left the chaos with the husbands. I've had Finn on my back, like skiing with him on my back has been so beautiful and so much fun. Leia's doing it. She's in ski school. She's been amazing. There's been so many like great moments in the trip. We're not going to look back at this and go, that was a terrible trip. We're just going to look back at this and go, this was too much, like way too much. We needed like at least 2 more adults, I think. I think if we had 2 more pairs of hands, like maybe like a grandma and an auntie or something, obviously 2 women we would need. My dad is here, who's grandpa to Leia and Finn. He is no help. I really feel like we could have used like a grandma or something. Some other pair of hands would have made all the difference. So it's not like it's bad. It's just, I'm so tired. You guys, it's been so insane. And then yesterday, finally, thank God, we had like a day of ease. We split up yesterday. So now we only had the first house that we were renting. We had it for a few days. And then now we're in an apartment each. And the kids have just mellowed out with a little bit of space. I think they're just too excited all day. And then they get tired, but they don't rest. They just keep going, playing with each other because they have so much fun. So there's no, and then they get overtired, and you know. So yesterday we actually had like a really chill, nice, sunny day with lots of time in the slopes. And it's been, yeah, that was really beautiful. And at the end of yesterday, I took the kids to, there's like a little jacuzzi. So we're at a hotel. It's like an apartment side to a hotel where you can rent the apartments. And then they have a hotel next door. And that hotel has a little spa up top and they had a little outdoor jacuzzi that you could rent. So I rented it and I took the kids alone. Not the babies, but the other 3. And we were there for 2 hours, just having the most amazing time after like a great day in the slopes. And that gave all the other people time to make dinner and take care of the babies. And the kids were just like telling me stories. And it was just so fun to be with them there. At the end of yesterday, after we finished dinner, we like cleaned up and we just looked at each other. We're like, today was a great day. Like today it happened. Today was good. Thank you. Thank you, universe. Thank you. Thank you. We'll take it. Like today, we had at least one good day out of a week of just madness. And yeah, of course, it's happening at the end of the trip. So we're going home tomorrow already. Today's our last full day of skiing. And we decided yesterday, and this is so like so dumb, but Dennis was like, hey, like, do you really want to take this other trip? And I'm like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. And that's the birthday trip that I meticulously planned that probably is going to be a lot easier than this one. Less kids, more adults, different place. Like, you know, but we're so tired from these 5 days that like the idea of going home and then doing this again is like, and I'm like, dude, this was your birthday present. He's like, it's okay. It's okay. I don't need it. Oh my God. How bad is that? Dennis, the snowboard obsessed, like obsessed man, like literally is like, no, let's not take that trip that you got me for my birthday because this was too tiring. Do you guys get how crazy this week has been for him to actually just forgo it? Yeah. Yeah. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? I float between never wanting to leave my farm and see anyone, to really missing my friends and meeting new people. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I used to feel guilty when I wanted to stay home and be all by myself. The FOMO was so real. But after working on this with my therapist, I realized that I actually recharge through alone time. So it's important to me, I deserve it, and it means I can't be everywhere where everybody wants me to be at all times. And my real friends understand that and they can respect those boundaries. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/yogagirl today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/yogagirl.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The good news is that Finn, although he does not walk yet, he's 9 months old, still not walking. Yeah, I know, he's so slow. We've had a, I'm joking, I kid, you guys know that. We've had a standing like little bet, like will he walk before Leia? Leia walked at 9 months and 16 days. But he crawled way sooner than she crawled. He crawled like a 2 whole months before she started crawling. So we really thought that he's going to do everything earlier. He was, yeah, rolling over faster and crawling faster and doing all those things faster. But then now he's just super chill to crawl. He's in no rush to walk. So we've had this little bet, like, is he gonna walk before Leia? But no, those times have already passed. He did not. But he may not walk, but he can ski. Apparently, if you're dedicated enough, like Dennis, you can find ski boots that are a size 20, like a size baby, and you can find the world's tiniest little baby skis. They're like the length of an adult forearm. They're the tiniest little skis. And he's been going with him in the kids' slope every day, or we have both been going with him every day. And he loves it. Like, he actually really did. It was just for fun, like to see, like, hey, can he even stand? He can stand, obviously, but standing in ski boots is a whole different thing. Standing on skis, standing in a slope, he can do it. Like, he's just, and you don't really know what he feels because he's like, his face, he's like unfazed, kind of. He's just looking at us like, okay, we're doing this now. It's not like pure excitement of like, wow, I'm in a slope, a wind in my hair, oh my goodness. No, it's like, okay, I'll do it. And he goes between my legs, and then Dennis will like run with him through the slopes. And he's actually like, I don't know, there is a chance that before we leave, he will be standing on his skis in the slope on his own, because he's really steady now. And this started kind of as a little bit like a joke, just to see, can a 9-month-old stand on skis? But the answer is yes, absolutely. And he can ski before he can walk, which absolutely is on brand for the kind of life that his dad really wants for him anyway. He has a snowboard, but that is way too big, so he hasn't been able. But I can't stop thinking about how much it is, like how, and I really like the word full, because full is not a negative word. Overwhelming, of course, is a negative word. Like life with kids, just overall, like whatever age you have, like 7, which is like Leia is 7, and our friend's kid Hunter, he's also going to turn 7 now. Like 7 is kind of, you know, they're getting big. They have like lives of their own and absolutely minds of their own and storytelling and big things happen. There's just so much happening. And I think I sort of thought that the hard years are the first years, like the hard times with kids. It's the newborn season and it's the, you know, the first months are the hardest by far. And then you go through the toddler time, which is of course crazy. You don't get to sit down ever. You can't take your eyes off of them for 1 second. I mean, there's just, yeah, these kids are like falling all over the place. You cannot look away. Like it's wild. And I just think I sort of thought that, you know, the first 7 years they say are the most formative. So if life just is graceful enough toward you and gracious enough toward you, you don't have any major trauma in the first 7 years, which obviously is out of everyone's control mostly. And you do the best you can for that time. Then like, it's like, we're out of the woods. They're going to be pretty solid. And then it's just going to be easier from there, right? Just easier and easier. And what I have come to realize, not just from this trip, but just from the past few weeks of dealing with different kinds of parenting scenarios that are really new to me, is I'm starting to get a feeling that maybe it's going to get harder. Like, is that true? Parents listening who have older kids, is that true? Because I'm not prepared for that at all. But I've had that feeling now. Like, is it going to be like, you know, small kids, small problems, big kids, bigger problems? Like, is the newborn and the toddler and the young years, are those the easy years? Because those years are fucking hard. Hey, no one has really prepared me for anything else. But we've just had some stuff come up, like some things around school. We've had, without sharing too much details, just some things happen in school and in other situations where I've seen kids in a group, like kids kind of grouping together in this age, like 7, 8, 9, not being kind. Like that's been kind of a recurring theme that's come up in different ways. Where I've seen other parents navigate that, like having a kid that's not kind, saying something really mean, being mean to someone else intentionally, like 7-year-olds, 8, 9, 10-year-olds being really mean to another kid is a whole different scenario to navigate versus a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old like hitting someone, or, you know, because they don't know what the hell they're doing. They're growing into their to their brains and their selves. And now, like, we've had a few scenarios where Leia has been in a group and someone in the group has been really mean to someone else. And I've had to kind of have these big conversations with Leia. Like, what do we do if we encounter a bully? What do we do if there's a bully in class who's really mean to other kids sometimes? Like, what, you know, what's the way to navigate that? And she has been really clueless because we have never had these conversations before. And now we're talking about these very mature, it feels to me, kind of adult things of, hey, if someone is being mean, how do we find the bravery to step in and say stop? Or to step in and say, hey, that's not okay, or that's not kind. Or to, you know, support that person so that they're not alone. Or at the very least, tell a teacher or tell a parent so that the grownups can help, you know, and help deal with that. It's been really, really, really challenging, especially dealing with some things in Leah's school where I feel like the teachers aren't taking it as seriously as I feel like it is. We even had a scenario a couple of weeks ago where something happened and a bunch of the kids from her class had to go to the principal office and mediate and talk, and someone was picking on Leah and being really mean to her, and then they were picking on somebody else. It was like a whole thing and no one called, like no one told me. Like, she came home and told me this whole big thing happened between a bunch of girls in school. And I'm like, what? They don't, you know, send an email or like pick up the phone and go, hey, just so you know, we had this thing happen today, but we've dealt with it. And no information whatsoever. I had to hear that from her and then contact some other parents who also didn't feel like it was a big deal. But for me, it was like a huge deal. Like, hey, it's not, in no scenario is it okay to have one kid be picked on. And for that not to be a big deal, and for that not to mean that we all sit with our kids and talk about what that means. No, it's just been, I don't know. I'm wondering, like, yeah, like what our teenage year is going to be like. Oof. It's, yeah, we've had a lot of just what I feel are mature and kind of adult conversations lately, which is much harder to navigate. Like, how do you navigate the world of big feelings and how to treat each other and how to be really brave when it's, when you feel scared, or how to be okay not fitting in? Like, this is something now that I can kind of sense. And I feel like it's really young, but maybe this is just what happens as kids get older and they're in big groups, that like little groups form in the big groups and then not everybody's included. Like, what's up with that? And I am feeling, Dennis keeps telling me, I have to really be really grounded and resourced when I talk to Leah about these things, because it triggers so much inside of me from my own childhood, around feeling like I didn't fit in, around feeling like I wasn't good enough, that like clicky feeling that I really think is an outdated thing that we, by talking about it, we sort of solidify it. This idea that girls can't be friends, that girls are catty, that girls are jealous, that girls bully. We have a big sister wound that's been passed down for generations. We know this, but it did not originate in us. And we can hopefully provide our children with better tools to not have to pass that wound on, to not have to have that clicky girl group that's like bullying someone where someone's not invited and there's a cool girl who's really mean and, you know, all that like high school bullshit crap. Like, I just know. But every time there's something that comes up in this context, like someone is teasing someone, like Leah's telling me all these stories about what's happening in school, and it's so new to me to even have to have these conversations with her because we've never had this ever before. And it's bringing me back to these, to these memories of when that happened to me. And when I was little, I have both been in the role of the one who picked on somebody. Like, I can remember that feeling of feeling really insecure and almost feeling this need to, like, there had to be, someone had to be outside of the group so everyone else in the group could feel a little bit more secure. Like, that whole insecure, awful thing. And then being on the other end and being the one who wasn't invited and being the one who was bullied and being the one who all of a sudden like lost all her friends. And lately I've been having these conversations with Leia, just letting her know what it was like when I was little, sort of as a way to story tell and sort of weave in the lesson of it doesn't have to be that way, how things could have been different. And it's just so hard to be a parent sometimes. All the times. Obviously not all the times. I mean, it's so magic and amazing and beautiful. But right now, I really feel like we are in a parenting phase where it is so full, so full with fullness in all areas. Like, we're doing the baby not sleeping crazy toddler thing, and we're doing the like school years, like navigating hard questions and hard conversations at the same time. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
I'm realizing now, just over the past, just looking back at the past few years, like, we have had the easiest kid. Leia has been so easy. We never had a tantrum phase with Leia. We never had a terrible twos or terrifying threes or fearsome fours, all this. Like, we somehow, she just didn't. And I think we're in for a world of difference now. We have a very different little kid for this round. And it's just kind of challenging right now. Yeah. I wish we were in circle now and I could hear from some of you how you navigate these conversations as your children get older. Because suddenly we get, like we had it happen here, Leia was in ski class and just someone isn't skiing as well as some of the other kids. And then someone says something like, oh, but that one can't even ski that slope. Like, oh, you know, and I heard it and like, hey, that's bullshit. Like, don't. And I want Leia to be that person that, hey, like can step in and say, that's not kind. Or that can step in and go, hey, I'll ski with you. But that's also a lot of responsibility to put on a child's shoulders, of course. And I don't want her to feel like she has to do things that she's not comfortable with. But I also want her to, you know, step into that place of being brave and at the very least recognizing when someone is mean and how to be kind or how to ask for help in situations that are difficult. And maybe this is just going to happen more and more. Like, is it true that just as kids get older, there's just going to be like little, there's just going to be little shits in class all the time? Is that true? There's always going to be someone who's kind of a bully or someone who's a little bit mean or someone who teases. Just before this age, we haven't had that. I guess they've just been too young. I don't know. And now it's just coming up all over the place. And I don't know what to do. Can someone tell me what to do? What to do? What to do? Yeah. Anyway, the fullness of this life, the busyness of it, it's at the same time as it's just so overwhelming and tiring, tiring enough to not want to duplicate this trip, which was just like the most privileged, amazing thing ever. We're just not going to do it. Like, it's that level of tiring. And at the same time, it's a higher level of magic. How is that possible? How do those two things actually align and flow together? That it's magical and so hard. And it's almost like all seasons of parenting have both of those really intense sides of the spectrum. For every challenging day that we've had here, we've had at least one moment per day that made all of that worth it, which is just so crazy. And I look at us like trying to have dinner together with these children, like just stepping out, being objective, like looking from the outside in. Just how busy we are, how, you know, no one's sitting down at the same time. We have been here for a week. We have not had one adult conversation. Like, someone is always running after a child, comforting a child, playing with a child, feeding a child, changing a diaper, tending to something. Like, we're just tending to these littles. And this is just what this season of life is. It is. And it's like this for everyone. I know. It's different levels of intensity, though, depending on the kind of kid you have and obviously how many kids you have. We've had, my dad is here with his three little kids. He has three kids, same age as Leia. And when they're together and it's eight of them, it's like, no, game over. Like, this is just, there's too many kids. It's too many. And then I look at a lot of the like people that I follow online. Most people that I actually see in my feed are these homesteading moms that I follow because I'm really inspired by all the homesteaders. Really, all of these cool families who have their own cow and they make all of their food from scratch and they grow all their food and there's a new sourdough loaf every day and they're fermenting foods and gardening and homeschooling. They're all homeschooling, which I would love to do, but not legal in Sweden. And they're just living these like very full, cool, amazing, down-to-earth lives. But then they all have like six or seven kids. I don't know. I feel like at least in the US, there is a lot of homesteaders are also very religious or like deeply Christian. There's also a lot of Mormons who are homesteaders with big accounts. Like, I feel like there's like a correlation there between, yeah, people just having tons of kids and choosing to homestead. And I'm not in that place where like I would have the eight or nine kids. And I'm wondering, like, how did they do it? Am I just super privileged and sensitive that I feel like this is overwhelming and hard? or is it overwhelming and hard for everyone? And when you get to that level of having, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, like, do you reach another level of parenting where you're just like this almighty parent who just knows everything? Like, maybe it's kind of like you're playing a video game and you're leveling up for every kid you add to the group. Maybe you just give less fucks. Like, that's a very possible scenario. You just let go a little bit more and you realize that the kids will just fall in line and things will generally work out. Maybe that's one part of it. Or is it that you reach some like almighty mega level of just, you know what the hell you're doing and you've navigated these scenarios so many times, so you just have it down. Whereas when you have 2 or 3, you're still figuring everything out all the time. I don't know. Or is it this crazy and chaotic for absolutely everyone and social media is just bullshit and all of these homesteaders that look so peaceful with their 8 kids at home, it's just not. It's just crazy. It's crazy. I don't know. I have no answers. You guys, I have no answers whatsoever. What I know is I am really excited to get back home. Well, I'm really grateful we had this trip. I know, at least for Leia and Hunter and the older kids, like, they're going to remember this forever, for sure. Like, our ski trip together, they have had the best time. The best time. I mean, full on, full stop. And Finn and Ziggy and the babies are not going to remember this, but we will look back at this. I told Olivia, I'm like, we're going to be like our mom's age later. We're going to look back at this and it's going to be so beautiful. It's going to feel like this, the most incredible thing. And wow, and those years, and they're going to pass so fast. And then we have the rest of our lives not being in this stage of parenting. Like, it's also so short, these first early years where everything is so intense and you never get to rest and you don't get to sleep and you're running all the time. And then all of a sudden, they're going to be all skiing in the same slope. All of a sudden, no one's in a diaper. All of a sudden, no one's breastfeeding. All of a sudden, everybody's sleeping through the night. All of a sudden, we're all going down the black diamond slopes together like it's nothing. All of a sudden, you get to have dinner and everyone just sits quietly talking. Like, I know that time is going to come, and probably that time is going to come with this huge wave of nostalgia. And we're going to miss the fullness of these years, right? We're going to miss the busyness, the coziness, the cuddliness, the snuggles, like these challenges that we're navigating that are also figure outable. Like, we're going to miss this time. And we're also just so tired. Yeah, the days are long, but the years are short. That is one of my favorite sayings. I can't wait to get home to my plants. Can't wait to get home to the garden. It is April. We are deep. I mean, we're deep in spring already. I mean, it's still cold and we have snow back home as well right now. So it looks like winter, but it's definitely springtime. And before we know it, minus degrees are over and I can start putting my tomatoes and my peppers and all my celery and all my leeks and everything's going to go in the ground in the garden. And I'm just so excited to get home. Wherever you are in your life, whatever season you have found yourself in, I hope you are grounded enough to navigate it and to move through, and that you haven't lost sight of the fact that you are absolutely in no shape or form ever alone. There's a mom across the world dealing with the same thing you are. Many moms across the world dealing with the same thing you are. Whatever challenge you have found yourself in front of, facing right now, there's going to be a moment when this is over, when you learn the thing that you were supposed to learn, when you grew the way you were supposed to grow, and you look back and you actually get to feel nostalgic about going through this time. Crazy. Yeah. So you're doing a good job. And I know we are all doing the best we can. Have a beautiful, beautiful rest of this week. Have a good weekend. I am teaching a live next week in case you feel like joining. It's going to be on Saturday. So every first Saturday of every month throughout the whole year, I'm teaching a live on yogagirl.com, and it's going to be a mix of yoga classes, and we're going to do some Q&As. We might do some food and herbal stuff, maybe some parenting talks. I'm open to suggestions. I'm just kind of like an open book looking at the rest of this year and what I want to share. So let me know if you have any cool ideas for how we can connect as well. I hope I see you there, but if not, I'll be back here on the pod next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.